I'm with Lord Meghnad Desai, a Lord of the British House of Lords for over 40 years. You have just quit the Labour Party, Lord Desai. Also, you're very well known in India with your various books on the economy and other subjects. Welcome to the print.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great pleasure.
So my first question to you is of course, why you have quit the Labour Party. You've been a member for more than 40 years. You're held in high esteem. So what happened?
Well, you know, we keep on losing elections, and when we lost in 2010 and then 2015, we had a leadership election, and the leadership election was won by somebody on the far left, and that led to an entry of a lot of other hard left groups into the Labour Party, and they have a different agenda. We are kind of a democratic socialist party. Sort of compromise, slow movement. But it's not that so much the tactics they believe in, but the fact that there is anti-Semitism, which is very virulent in the hard left. And that some Labour MPs who are Jewish, especially women, started getting trolled and abused and threatened. And there were complaints about behavior of members. But no punishment was meted out on those members. I didn't like it. I was rather ashamed of it. I complained about it. But then, you know, we lost an election in 2019. But the Equality and Human Rights Commission we were referred to them, and they wrote a report confirming that we had anti-Semitic practices and we were soft on anti-Semitism. A new leader came, and I thought something might happen quickly, but last week it was clear that the previous leader was reinstated into the party after having been suspended.
This is Jeremy Corbyn,
who's a friend of mine. I've known Jeremy Corbyn for, and he himself is not accused of anti-Semitism so much as the people he has attracted. Certainly he has been soft on enforcing an anti-Semitism sort of elimination program. So I thought, what will happen now is we will go through various committee setup and this and that in the Labour Party. I know the party very well. And I lost patience. I thought, I got to get out of this, because it is very embarrassing to belong to a party which has been openly criticized. And the only previous political party which was examined, investigated by the commission, was the British National Party, which is an openly fascist party. And I think it's shameful that in their 120-year-old party, dedicated to fighting for equality, should be tainted with anti-Semitism and do nothing about it. So I thought, I'm out of this. Yeah. I can't go on like this.
So
that I'm not a Jew is irrelevant. Mm-hmm.
So is the problem also that that the Labour Party is shifting much more to the left than it has been? You know, under Tony Blair, it was called pink, but that's because it was sort of more centrist, or perhaps even center-right. Do you think that this sort of ideological shift to the far left is what the problem is right now?
We have a very peculiar tendency in the Labour Party. Every time we come into office, we are very unhappy that we are not doing as much as we should be. And as soon as we lose, there's a leftward shift to the party. People say we've lost because we didn't do enough, you know, kind of radical stuff and so on. This happened to us after Harold Wilson lost in 64-70, and then very tight period, 74-79. Things were very bad, and there was a huge left-wing influx into the Labour Party. I was active at that time. During that period, I was chairman of my local Labour Party. And it was very difficult to contain those elements. But, you know, we learned to contain them, and we finally removed them politically by a political fight. Neil Kinnock, the leader then, was very good. So I have lived through that once. And I clearly thought that if there was a will, you could remove those elements. It is not rocket science. But the will is lacking. And even in the new leader, I think he's somewhat of a gentle person. and he hasn't been in the Labour Party long enough. He's only had one parliament and he's become leader. I mean, he's a brilliant lawyer, and no doubt about it. But I didn't think that he would be able to do very much about this. And we'll be spending the next 5 years fighting this fight. I don't have patience anymore.
Okay. But, you know, one more quick question on British politics. Even the Conservative Party there's been a churning that's been taking place in the Conservatives, right? I mean, Boris Johnson is Prime Minister now, but there's been he's sort of become PM after several leaders have. Sure. So do you think that Labour is going to be able to combat some of the things that the Conservatives are doing? And also on Boris Johnson himself, do you think he's handling things well? He was, he was corona positive himself a few months ago. How do you think he's handling this crisis?
I think he's not handling it well at all. There's no doubt about that. In a sense, he always was the person who always brought glad tidings, doesn't have capacity for detail. But he's very lucky that he normally chooses very good deputies for staff team. And he gets away by telling the most horrendous lies because people love him. I mean, this is one of the great paradoxes. Now, if we go on fighting among ourselves, we will not be an effective opposition. We will not be able to give an alternative to Boris Johnson. He has a majority of 80 seats in Parliament. That's a huge majority. To defeat that in, say, 2024, when the elections are, I think it's going to be very difficult. That was another reason. I think they could easily win again, because the difficulties have come early in the term. You know, in the first year, all the troubles, Brexit and coronavirus, and then follow 4 years of, ease. And Rishi Sunak, for example, who is Chancellor, and it's amazing as an Indian born, as an Indian origin person born in UK, is holding high office. He's very good. He could easily be the next prime minister. And so when the election comes, Boris won't be there.
Yeah.
And so, because, as you said, they have changed leaders as well. Maybe we should be changing our leaders or having another leadership election. I don't know. Okay. That's no longer my concern. I'm not in the party, and the party can do what it likes.
Okay, so, let me bring you back home here in India. You know, you've been a keen observer of politics here in India as well. What do you make of what's happening here? We've been through also coronavirus these last 8 months. India's cases are quite high. The economy is in deep trouble. What is your view?
I think, even before coronavirus hit, I was saying that Modi 2.0 has lost interest in economics. You know, the front end sort of Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, which was the theme of Modi 1.0. Yeah. And a lot of things got done. There were problems, but a lot of things got done as health, welfare, growth, and so on. And then suddenly the economy started slowing down even before the elections came. The credit market was in great trouble with the banks with lots of bad debts. And then a non-banking credit market collapsed with ILLFC. FS. So I think the attention of the government, of the lead people in the government, has shifted to solving problems like Article 370, Citizenship Amendment Act. You know, the agenda was shifting to what do I call the national question, rather than a Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas. Now, a party has got a majority, they have won, they put it in their manifesto, they're not doing anything, unexpected. But that means that the economy is no longer the top priority of the government. And what the coronavirus exposed is something I've been complaining for 30 years. Neglect of labor, neglect of the huge population we have. And we have kept lots of them unemployed or underemployed. by using the wrong policies. At last, the government has done some labor market reform, and that's a good sign. But we could have had policy like Bangladesh has or other Asian countries of employing people in large-scale manufacturing, you know, and we never did that because we had all these labor laws. You know, if you use power more than 100 people, you can't sack or, you know, people and so on. So, you know, this is from Nehruvian times. So we have not really had a pro-business, pro-growth policy. No political party in India says.
What about Prime Minister Modi? He has got, you know, this.
He did Modi 1.0, but by and large, his party is not pro-business. In India, from the RS to the CPM, nobody likes business. They all think profits come by cheating or something or other. And as soon as they can, you know, nail down private business, suspect them of tax evasion. And there's so many obstacles. Now, you know, take agriculture. The farmer is a businessman. Mm. He is private sector. Now, we respect the farmer. Why don't we respect businessmen in the commercial sector or industrial sector? But there is a block. Now we have to be Atmanirbhar because we don't really want foreigners to come and give us the technology. I think, you know, these are political cultural problems across India. India doesn't somehow think it needs to do what everybody else does to get growth. India thinks it is so good, so great, that growth will come to it.
No, one second. Let me just interrupt you here. What's wrong with being Atmanirbhar or self-reliant?
You know, basically because every country in the world trades, there's a division of labor, and it's by exporting and importing, taking advantage of other people's technology, other people's capital, exporting your capital. That's how every country has grown in the last 300 years, mm-hmm. without exception. There were countries like Soviet Union when it was suffering boycott. They didn't, but they ended up having a military heavy economy. But people were not happy. People were not had good consumption. You know all that. What were they being pretended? Now here we are. We still have almost 2/3 of the people living in the countryside, and agriculture gives us only 15% of total output. You know, so a lot of people are sitting in the rural area with not enough work. We have to generate that work. I mean, this is not rocket science. And, you know, as I said, I've been saying it for more than 30 years, that we are wasting time by this sort of, for Congress, it was socialism, which made us self-sufficient. For RSS, it is, you know, Hindu nationalism or whatever you call it, which has to be Atmanirbhar. Now, you know, I think this is believing that somehow India doesn't have to obey any of the normal rules of economics because India is India and we are so great.
But is there a fear, do you think? Is there a fear of the foreigner?
Yeah, I mean, of course there's a fear. There's two things. There is contempt for the foreigner because we are far superior because we were there 3,000 years ago and they were living in trees, right? Who are they? They are nobody. We are the great civilization. We are going to be the world's teacher. We don't want to be the richest country. We don't want to eliminate poverty. We want to be Jagatguru. What's going on? Who's going to listen to us? Nobody's listening to us. We are afraid of foreigners, but we think we're superior. We're still complaining about the East India Company. And we are very rude to them. We want their money, but we are very rude to them. The way we have treated a Vodafone. You know, the Vodafone story is so shocking that, you know, it's very harmful abroad. India's reputation abroad among investors is not very good. And again, I thought I was very hopeful that Modi will change the culture. And Modi did for 5 years. But now I think he's onto another part of the agenda.
Which is what?
You know, as I said, the national question, you know, the Kashmir problem, the 370, the Citizenship Amendment Act, That whole culture, which is BJP's core culture program, has been since it was founded in 1951 as Johnson. And, you know, the hard, see, I know from my Labour Party experience, the hardcore ideologues don't believe in all this popular policy. They want to pursue, like, you know, the hardcore in Labour Party wanted to nationalize everything, and they didn't want any friendly relations with business. And someone like Tony Blair comes, he's hated in the Labour Party, he's new Labour, he's friendly to capitalism, and we get lots of progress. Is he loved in the Labour Party? No way. So, you know, this is the problem that now, okay.
But do you think, Lord Desai, do you think that the Prime Minister himself is, you know, he travels the world, he meets lots of foreign leaders, he engages with them, he wants to, you know, he wants to improve not just India's image abroad, but he wants to make India more integrated into the world economy. Do you think he personally wants to do something where India is a global player, but that he's being held back by other forces?
Yes, I think, you know, okay, I'm not a journalist, so I just sit at home and think about this and solve it theoretically. I think in Modi 2.0, he is no longer as dominant as he was in Modi 1.0.
No longer as dominant in 2.0.
As dominant in his party, more harder ideological people who don't believe in economic growth and all that sort of stuff. They want to speed to becoming Jagat Guru, and they want to speed to being kind of, you know, qualifying, if not restricting, votes for non-Hindus. I mean, this is what in the US happens with Black American voters. People find various tricks to restrict Black. That is unfortunately the direction we are going. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I'll be glad to be wrong. I'll be glad to be proved wrong, and Modi will be back with the bounce, and we shall resume growth because we need growth very, very badly. What happened in COVID? The sight of these poor immigrant people going walking from Delhi to Bihar was so tragic.
Yeah.
And how many people's lives we have wasted? 200 million? You know, that is a lot of people's lives openly being wasted. Why? Because we had not created good jobs for them. They were migrant laborers and they couldn't stay in Delhi if they didn't have daily work.
Right.
And that is the tragedy.
So I have one last question for you, Lord Desai, which is that, you know, India has not joined RCEP, which is this China-led 16-nation organization.
I know stuff, yeah.
Yeah. For fear, because you don't want cheap Chinese goods to flood your market. Do you think... So this ties into the older question. Do you think that was a right decision?
Let me put it this way. We have been getting cheap Chinese products for 15 years, if not longer. We had good growth. Between 1991 and 2015, we were getting Chinese goods, cheap Chinese goods. Our growth rate was high. It was not low. This is a fallacy. This is a complete fallacy in believing that somehow, if you join a foreign trade treaty, the others will give you cheap. Why don't we have cheap products to send to China? Why have we failed to become a manufacturing country? Ask us that question. So I think, you know, if you don't want to be with China because we have a military problem, that's another story. But, you know, we have to get, in a sense, it's a combination of inferiority complex, superiority complex. We feel we are superior to the foreigners, but we feel inferior to the foreigners. And the same problem comes up. This is why we have to be Atmanirbhar. Because we are too good to be with the foreigners, but we don't want the foreigner to be at our house because we will lose. We are as much afraid of Amazon as we are afraid of China. I mean, it is sarva dharma samabhava, like, you know, we hate all countries, we hate all foreign countries. Now, you know, it's, in a sense, there is a younger generation in India, which is fantastic. They are very innovative. They have all the unicorns. They are open. They need leadership. And I think Modi was the leader in the first term. And I want that Modi back, leading the country to bigger and better things. And one thing is clear. There is no alternative in any other political party remotely coming close to his ability.
There is no alternative.
There is no alternative I can see with any political party in India. Not even Arvind Kejriwal anymore. You know, I mean, he's only nearest person I can think of. There is no alternative. I mean, who talks about the whole country, about the whole economy? They still go on about how we fought independence and you were not there. Well, thank you very much. Independence was long ago. No, I think there is no vision for anybody else. And we just have to wait for Modi to take reins in his hand again and give us growth.
Lord Meghnad,
that is best I can do.
Yeah. Lord Meghnad Desai, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. And we will come back to you, talk to you again. And do keep watching the print, reading us, listening to us, and do subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Thank you very much.